We are doing false religions. We are going to attempt to cover two today. Yes, true. Good point. It does look like we're missing some. Mormonism. Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses.
The best of luck to you.
Right. We are going to drop our heads and plow. All right, so I'm going to be throwing a lot of facts at you, and moving fairly quickly is the desire. Couple of announcements before we get rolling with this too would be, one, if you plug a toilet, try to unplug a toilet. If you can't unplug a toilet, let somebody know. I understand it can be embarrassing, whatever the case may be. However, it's going to be discovered anyhow, so let somebody know. And unfortunately, that's one of my greater skills in life, is I am a master toilet unplugger, because I've had plenty of experience. And so I'm not going to say that I would be happy to help you, but I will help you if you get into that situation. There is a reason why I'm saying that, so somebody knows why besides me. And also with the toilets, Mrs. Gregory is in the office during the week from 9 to 5, so guys, from 9 to 5, we need to not be using the ladies' restroom over there and leave that for her to be able to utilize during the day.
I'll say, in general, just try to stay out of there. You'll get your stuff, and you obviously have to do that, but she's trying to work.
Yeah, so this will be our hangout area. All right, I think that's it as far as just kind of continuous. It's kind of like camp, right? Every day there's kind of a continuous revolving updates on different things. Now I'm going to open our time with prayer, and then we're going to dive right into Mormonism. Father, I do just thank you for this week so far, for the work you've allowed us to accomplish yesterday, and the sportsmanship, in the fellowship, in the devotional times with Ultimate Frisbee, and just thank you for your safety also with all of these things, and just your supplying us with the means to be able to do these things and to be able to just continue to learn and grow and live out the truths that we continue to be taught and understand, and to be able to put them into practice. Just ask that you would be with us today as we continue to learn and understand what these false religions are teaching, and then deepen in our faith as far as what truth is, Father. And I just thank you that we do have truth, and that your word is truth, Lord. Just ask that you'd help us to not mock or despise, but to have pity upon those that would not put their trust and faith in you, but to trust in other things. And just as we continue to study these also, Father, that we would recognize that the work in our lives is of you, and if it wasn't for your grace, we would be in these same situations, Father. And so that we would just have great cause to rejoice even more in you through this. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we are going to, like I mentioned to some, I don't know if everybody heard, we're going to attempt to do two today. So we're going to try to plow through Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. So it's going to be a lot coming at you. And if you need to come up afterwards and fill in some blanks, we'd be happy to do that with you. So it's going to start with Mormonism. So quick facts about Mormonism. Founded in 1830 by Joseph Smith. And Brigham Young replaced Joseph Smith as prophet in 1844 upon Smith's death. There have been 17 official prophets of Mormons, the Mormon Church, and the current prophet is Russell Marion Nelson. Worldwide, Mormonism is over 16 million, with about 6.5 million living in the United States. There are more than 67,000 Mormon missionaries in 200 countries. Each Mormon missionary baptizes an average of six people per year for an estimated 402,000 new converts each year. The major thrust of Mormon missionaries is within Christian denominations. I know that we had, it was probably about 5 years ago, experienced some of them showed up and attended our church services, and that's kind of one of the means in which they do is they'll come and they'll, I don't necessarily know if flirt is the word, but they'll, some of the Mormon men will come and try to get to know some of the teen girls in the church and try to make converts that way. Very wisely, some of our men said, hey, great to have you here. We're glad you're here. You can just hang out with me the whole time you're here, not with our girls. But this is a great push in their area. Mormons are required to tithe 10% of their income annually. The Mormon church generates $3 million in of income each day through this alone. And then more than 3 million copies of the Book of Mormon are distributed each year. Now let's talk about the history of Mormonism. Founded by Joseph Smith, who was born in 1805, favorite activities was treasure hunting. So this is actually also he copied after his father. His father was a treasure hunter, and his mother was very much into mysticism. He was bothered by the conflicts in denominations, and in 1820 he received a vision in which, and this is, we don't believe he received the vision, but in which the Father and the Son appeared to him, told him that all churches and their beliefs were wrong, and told him a new church was needed, and Joseph Smith was to be the one to start it. And so as he is trying to figure out what religion is right, supposedly, he receives a vision from the Father and the Son that tells him that all these churches are wrong. All these religions are wrong. And that he is going to be the one that is shown what is right, and it's his job to now establish this religion that is actually the one true correct religion. So Joseph Smith kept on treasure hunting, and some of the favorite things that he would treasure hunt is seer stones and pep stones. These were supposedly mystical stones that allowed power and the ability to locate and translate. The pep stones especially had holes, stones with holes in the middle, so if you looked through the holes in the middle of the stones, you could be able to see things that you can't see through just the naked eye. So you see how that mysticism comes in with all of this aspect of this also. In 1823, he asked for another vision. And then Moroni, I always have a hard time with how these, appeared to him and told him about the books inscribed in gold plates which were buried near his home. Moroni is supposedly the son of the ruler who actually had the only true religion right, and they had settled in South America, and they were actually defeated and annihilated, and that's how the true religion was defeated. And so Moroni was a human who became an angel. Book gave info about former inhabitants of America, and so these that would be his descendants, told about true gospel given to those inhabitants by the Savior. In 1826, Moroni revealed the location of the plates. Isn't that neat that the plates just happened to be buried right near his house? And then Joseph Smith found them by using the seer stones, and he called the stones the Urim and Thummim, which you may recognize from Old Testament times. Those names would be items that the priests would carry in their breastplate. They were used in the Old Testament time period. So a lot of these religions also have these ties to where they plug and chug and pick and choose different things, and a lot of it comes from the Old Testament times where things were specific and we didn't have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit in that regard. So he said the plates were written in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. In 1830, Joseph Smith published his translations of the gold plates, which he called the Book of Mormon, and founded the Mormon Church. So 1830, he used these pep stones, looked through, translated the books, and also a side note is that the gold plates were taken back up into heaven after he had translated them. Between 1831 and 1844, he gained converts and established Mormon strongholds in Ohio, Missouri, and Illinois. Opposition to the Mormon Church grew. They were opposed to his continuous revelations, which he wrote down and called inspired scripture. They were opposed to his polygamy. It was claimed that Joseph Smith had about 30 wives. So groups of disgruntled Mormons published a newspaper exposing gross immoralities in the Mormon Church. Smith and his city council members tried to destroy the office where the newspaper was printed, and he was arrested for rioting and charged with treason and conspiracy. On June 27th, 1844, a mob of 200 stormed the jail in Carthage, Illinois, and killed him. At that point, Brigham Young took over and led them to Utah, where he founded Salt Lake City, the New Zion. Brigham Young formalized and encouraged polygamy, which was practiced up until 1890. In 1890, Wilford Wolfenbarger, the fourth president of the Mormon Church, had a revelation that the Mormons were to give up polygamy. And this seems to have corresponded with the threats from the United States government to confiscate the church's property and deny Utah statehood if polygamy continued. So let's talk about some Mormon theology. Mormon scripture, the Book of Mormon, claims to be the most correct book on earth. It claims that the Bible was altered by translators and is incomplete and full of errors. And that's really what you'll hear a lot if you're talking to Mormons and you try to start talking about the Bible. The Bible we have, they would claim, is incomplete and full of errors. And that would be that those that translated it purposely changed it to suit their needs. However, if you look at the comparison, nothing except for any scripture that they would actually use predates Joseph Smith as far as being able to find any manuscripts. And we'll learn in apologetics where scripture, we have hundreds upon thousands, depending on where you're at, of copies of manuscripts that actually compare very well to each other with only minor discrepancies. And you're talking about thousands of people in different locations agreeing upon changing all these different things to make it work is really the proof of Scripture. It holds a lot stronger than the proof of Mormonism claiming that they were wrong in changing Scripture. Has whole chapters from Isaiah and thousands of other words used from the King James Bible. None of the books of Mormon appear none of the books of Mormon, apart from the Bible, have manuscripts that predate Joseph Smith. The Doctrine and Covenants, addendums to the complete Book of Mormon. And so everything is added to the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is the only true. Anything that they found in the Bible that was true, and then they get to move it and change it as they want. For example, the first Book of Mormon actually said that the moon was made of cheese. They're working with that. They kind of changed that. And then also people of color couldn't be saved. And then they worked with that and changing that. And so they can receive revelation. They can change things. They can say it was a misinterpretation. They get to move those things around. Then also the Pearl of Great Price, translated from Egyptian artifacts he purchased. So the pressure was on Joseph Smith because some people are like, these golden tablets, why can't we see these golden tablets? Oh, they were taken up into heaven. Well, that seems a little fishy to me. And so all of a sudden, he's like, well, you know what? I think I'm going to find some other tablets. Yeah, so he purchased some Egyptian artifacts, and then he translated them and said, this is the Pearl of Great Price, is the new translation. But actually, now, with the technology we have, you know, other people, he shows other people, he's like, oh, look at this, but I can see it through my pepstone, right, and I can translate it, and this is what it comes up to. But the correct translation of the books of Moses and the Gospel of Matthew, along with the artifacts of faith, so he says, this is actually truth. So he altered these things. And the Egyptian artifacts Smith used actually have nothing to do with spiritual principles, but are remains of a common Egyptian funeral text. That's what they actually were. So they would say, the inspired version of the Bible. All other versions are corrupt. Joseph Smith did his own translating. He didn't know Greek or Hebrew, so it seems to be translated in normal King James language. And so the Egyptian artifacts that he translated through his seer stone came out in King James language. So again, you could see how it was him taking Scripture and twisting it to fit what he wanted it to be. And then a lot of the alterations that he did in passages such as Genesis 50, some in Isaiah, is that he included in these passages prophecies about Joseph Smith and what he was going to do. And so he took these older texts and he said that what was left out was the prophecies that prophesied about him in the work that he was going to be doing. And so that was what was added to a lot of the actual biblical texts. So what they would believe of the nature of God. God is part of an eternal progression. He is a man who became a God. God was created by another God who existed before the Father God, who rules the universe today, and before him, another God. And so what we have is an infinity of gods. And we kind of talked about, this would fall into an area we talked about in Sunday school with cause and effect, right? And an infinity of cause and effect is irrational. There has to actually be an initial cause that's outside of that, that is greater to the effect. And so that infinity really is irrational, and it's an infinity of men or aliens or whatever it may be that actually achieve godhood. The current Father God was once a man who progressed to become God by obeying the gospel truth of Mormonism. And so by obedience to the gospel truth of Mormonism, their God has supposedly achieved godhood. And this is important and key to that because they also believe that any Mormon can become God. They're polytheism. Any Mormon can become God. All Mormons who have obeyed the gospel truth have become gods. Person of Jesus. The current Father God grew up on another planet and had sex with the Mother God and had millions of spirit children. The firstborn of the spirit children was Jesus, and secondborn was Lucifer. Father God came up with a plan to have the rest of his spirit children inhabit earth and be tested, only to return to him after death. Therefore, Jesus is the elder brother. Jesus was chosen to be the Savior, which made Lucifer mad, so he rebelled. Lucifer was defeated and banned to earth, which had been created by Jesus and the other spirit children. Jesus was born on earth when the Father God had physical sexual relationships with Mary. Now, BYU, Brigham Young University, would deny this now, but that was in their actual text. Jesus grew up, got married, had several children, died on the cross, was resurrected with a new body, and returned to heaven. He is now waiting to take the place of the Father God, who will himself progress to even greater realms. Humankind, every person ever born once existed as a spirit in heaven. In being born, you are following the same steps followed by the Father God and Jesus. And so you're really on the same path and can achieve those same levels as what they were claiming. By becoming a Mormon and obeying Mormon teaching, you can progress towards godhood. If you are married in a Mormon temple, you can have your own planet. Once you become a god, you can have spirit children of your own. All right, sin and salvation. All people born are born in an innocent state. Cause was originally, so everybody is born. You're born neutral. All right. Sin is not rebellion against God. It is poor judgment and making mistakes. Salvation means to be resurrected and have a body. You aren't saved by believing in Jesus and accepting him as your Savior. All people are saved. Eventually, all people are saved eventually, and you are saved individually by doing good works and obeying the law of the gospel, that is, the tenets of the Latter-day Saints Church. And then the afterlife. When people die, they enter one of the heavens. The celestial heaven, that's where good Mormons only go. The terrestrial, which really good non-Mormons and not so good Mormons go. And then the telestial, heaven's most bad people, which is most people. Will go. But everybody will go to heaven. So you see, with this layout that we have here, you have, first of all, a God that was a man who did good works to become a God. We have a God, because of our good works, cannot accomplish anything, really because of our sin, became a man and took on flesh, lived a sinless life, and paid the punishment for our sins. This is all about works-based salvation, but not even works-based salvation so much. It's about works-based elevation. This is about elevating yourselves to the highest level, and that is to achieve godhood yourself, to become a father God at some point and be able to have your own planet and your own spirit children. And so this is what they are trying to teach. And the big thing with Mormonism too is, though, the words that they use when they talk to you are going to sound very similar and sometimes could even cause you to want to agree with them. However, the meanings behind a lot of what they talk about and what they use as far as Jesus Christ, you know, they're going to tell you they believe in Jesus Christ. They're going to tell you that there's not that much difference, but what you believe as far as the Bible, it's flawed and erred, and there is this new prophet. That's usually how they start the conversation off when they come to my door is, I want to tell you about the new prophet. It's like, okay, who's the new prophet? And then they start with Joseph Smith, and they talk about how that has happened. It's very interesting also that really the lowest level of Mormonism is the Mormon missionaries, where that's when you first become a Mormon, you become a Mormon missionary, and you get sent out. And I love the fact that that's not the... any job is insignificant, but that is one of the most beautiful things, is how our church sends out missionaries who are very much in love with God, in love with God's word, have studied God's word, and it is not a low-level novice position. It is actually a position of somebody that really has demonstrated a deep faith and a walk with God that has been tested and proved. And their desire is to not kind of build their own kingdom by doing good works and conversion, but their desire is to honor God in obedience and sacrifice in their own lives. And so it's really a very selfishness when you look at the fact that it is all about doing good works, obeying these tenets, and achieving godhood. I am very grateful that it's not my works that my salvation is based on. And I get to serve a living Savior who actually did die for my sins, because we understand and know that we weren't born neutral. We weren't born in this negative state, and we just have to do enough good works and obey the tenets of Mormonism. It's not even really necessarily all about good works. It's about obeying the tenets of Mormonism. So that is Mormonism. So those of you that doubt it, I can cover Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses in one session. Well, I better not speak too soon. Yes, questions about Mormonism. Let's go with that. Everybody in the world goes to heaven. There is no actual hell. Okay, so if you are just an average person, the majority of people are going to be at the third level, the lowest level of heaven. All right, really good Mormons go to the highest level. They're the ones that become gods, get their own planet. Really good people that aren't Mormons and really bad Mormons go to the second level. And then the majority of the world goes to the third level.
Why would you want to become a Mormon if you're just going to heaven?
Well, so you can get the higher level.
Oh, yeah, having a planet and God is not that.
Yeah, I mean, that's... pretty good perks, right?
Better than 72 versions, actually.
Yeah.
So how do you become a Mormon? Like, how do they believe that? Are you just, like, born into becoming a Mormon?
No, so you basically, you just accept and acknowledge what they're doing, and you start obeying the tenets of Mormonism. There's really not a salvation process. It is recognizing, oh, Joseph Smith was the new prophet. What he gave us is truth. What they're saying is absolute truth. And now we need to obey these tenets and follow this. And so we need to attend the Mormon church. We need to do the Mormon missions thing. So you go out and be a missionary for a few years, and then you continue to progress from there. Sarah. I would say, out of speculation, that Christ is waiting on the completion of this planet as far as everything happening and us all, everybody going to the correct levels of heaven, and then he'll take the place of Father God. And where Father God goes, I don't know. I'm assuming that it's that, again, that infinite progression that just keeps going, which, again, that's doesn't have rationality, let alone anything to kind of back up that there is greater than Godhood.
Do the Mormons believe in an end of time or just a completion?
That's a good question. Do they believe in an end of time or just a completion? I don't know for sure. I think they believe in a completion of this planet where we'll all go to heaven, because I think this is all the spirit children, and we existed as spirits before we took on the flesh and became spirit children on this planet. So I don't think there's an end time for them, but I think it's kind of once all the spirit children have taken form and flesh and have, am I wrong in that? I have a question then. Can a non-Mormon that converts to Mormonism achieve the highest level of heaven, or is it something that you have to kind of be born into to achieve that?
If you convert and you get baptized,
then you're officially a Mormon. You're the same as... Okay.
3 or 2, it's 2 or 3.
Okay. Sam? I didn't. I'm curious, though.
Okay, so I had a conversation with a couple, and typically this is one of the things that they'll do. They'll bring the Book of Mormon to your house, and then it's not really, this is kind of why it's hard to demonstrate falsehoods in the Book of Mormon, because it is very mystical, like you're talking about. They just give you a Book of Mormon and say, hey, read this and see how it makes you feel. You know, I feel like the Book
okay.
of Mormon is true. They have this burning in the bosom experience.
Okay, so an emotional experience that moves you. Okay. Becca. Oh, they believe in the three levels of heaven, and then there's always new earths. So there's either multiverses or other planets, how exactly that goes. But because other gods, the progression of gods, the gods before the Godfather now have moved on to greater realms where the Godfather's going to go. It just, there's the spirit children, and so there's just always this constant progression. And
Mormon can become God, but does that mean your family
family goes with you, or do you go?
So I haven't looked that up, but based off of their understandings of polygamy and other things, I don't think it's a family thing, because what if one's a really good Mormon and goes to the third level and then one goes to the mid-level? You know, if maybe people in your family weren't as good as you were and didn't obey those. Because it's a god and a goddess that actually have relations that creates the new spirit children to produce planets. So if your spouse isn't a goddess, then I don't know if they hold to the family structure that tightly, but I could be wrong. I haven't really studied that.
So I actually have something about that. So I was in Salt Lake City, and we did actually a tour of their temple complex, and they talked about this actually, and they do believe that marriages last into eternity.
Okay, so the family structure does maintain into eternity. Okay. Sarah?
Small addendum to that. That only happens if the husband approves it. So he has to give the wife the okay. Like, I want to spend eternity with you and have all my spirit children with you. And if he doesn't want to, he gets another option.
Okay.
What happens to the woman?
I was also reading about it. When Joseph Smith retranslated Matthew, he like took out all the parts that say, you know, added in that marriage was eternal, basically.
Okay. So. Right, because he really liked, Joseph Smith, especially those in the early, really liked to be able to have as many wives as they wanted. All sorts of questions. Okay, Sarah. So the world was created by our current Father God, who was a person on another planet, so another creation on another planet, who achieved godhood by doing good works. And because of achieving godhood and doing good works, and probably also had to have been married in a Mormon temple, right? And then he received his own planet, which is what we have now. And through him and his goddess having actual physical intimacy, we are his spirit children. So we are brothers and sisters of Christ, who was the firstborn of his spirit children. But we are all spirit children of the God who received this planet as a gift for achieving godhood, and that's how we all got here. They do believe Christ died on the cross, and I don't think they believe in the return of Christ.
There is a return.
There is a return. Okay.
So he'll come and establish the millennium, essentially. So there's no end of the world. He just comes. He'll kind of make all the bad stuff go away, and then that kind of brings everybody to the level they're supposed to be.
So that's kind of the end, then. That's the cutoff. Probably their biggest wrestle would be hell. But anything that's really pointed to what Joseph Smith didn't want to do. So, Trinity. Yeah, so the deity of Christ, not a triune God. Joshua. So I'm trying to not get my Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonisms mixed up, because I do that a lot. I believe that it would be, do they believe in original sin? Jehovah's Witnesses believe in original sin and believe that Jesus died to nullify that.
It's a deal with sin. Original, no, people can be good, but he atones for all humanity, essentially, when he dies on the cross.
All right, so he covers even those that in the third heaven, so that everybody gets to go to heaven and nobody has to go face punishment.
So, like, when people go to the celestial heaven, do they, like, they become gods, right? And then do they go to different realms after that?
Right. So they, a lot of them, and I don't know if it's everyone that, no, because if you have to be more buried in a Mormon temple to get your own planet, but you get, a lot of them get their own planets and they get to start, be their gods and kind of do this all over. All right. I skipped, I think you had another one, so.
Yeah, so you mentioned that they believe that Jesus got married and had children. So in the Book of Mormon, do they have like a genealogy of like Jesus' children, I guess?
I don't think they go into genealogies that much. I could be wrong. Do they have a genealogy of Christ and his children? Do they name his children and stuff?
They just know that they're big into the genealogy because they have a whole system of tracing your roots.
Okay. So they are big into genealogies, but I am not aware if they name who Christ's children, Jesus' children were. Right. Yeah. I'm pretty confident it's just a continuation. Just as there's been an infinity of gods, there will be an infinity of this aspect too, where in those new planets the people get and their spirit children, there will rise those that achieve godhood, and they'll continue on to just that constant effect of people achieving godhood, getting their own planets, having spirit children, those people achieving godhood, having their own spirit children, so just that constant continuation.
Do they believe in, a God that's always been, or,
No. It's always a creation achieving godhood. And so that's why it's really irrational, and that's why I kind of compared it to that idea of there being an infinity of cause and effect. There has to be something greater outside of that that actually isn't constrained to that to actually be the initial cause.
So can they even explain the beginning, or they're just
no, there is no beginning. It's just an infinity. Yeah. Okay, poor Judah. Go ahead. So there's a lot of logic that you're trying to use that would be really, when it comes down to it, is that you just don't question the new translation. You don't question the Book of Mormon. If you have doubts, it is on your part. And really, I mean, I get it. I have a hard time not laughing also, but I mean, there's people that don't believe in Christianity that would look at us and say, so if, because for me, I don't believe the Bible holds contradictions. And so if I see something that I'm not fully understanding, I trust that it's truth and I work towards being able to understand it. But, and so they're really, they're almost doing the same thing, except it's very wrong and it's very irrational. And so really it causes to have great pity on them. So trying to, the logic, what we would see as logic of those things, though, really isn't. And so as far as the marriage, it doesn't, as far as the god and the goddess, it really doesn't mention as far as whether they're married and have this. It is, so I don't think if you choose not to take your wife with you, I don't think you lose the right to be able to have your own planet and have your own, you can pick another goddess and you guys can have your spirit children and have your planet. Did you have something?
I
do think it's a sad thing, and I don't see anything as far as the women actually getting anything. Do the women get to be gods too? Okay.
They have their family, and so you enter into heaven, go back to God with your family. So it's just like it's essentially like it was before, only better, with no sin.
but they also can progress towards godhood and become godly.
Okay.
Can the women pick to not like have their husbands or not?
I don't think that's no. No, see, you're stuck with him. Your only hope is that he hopes not to pick you, Aaron. I think they believe in Adam and Eve. They believe in a progression of the spirit children, and so that continued progression. They actually their original father of Moroni. He came after the Tower of Babel and moved to the Americas, and that's when another tribe came in and defeated them, and that's when the religion died. And so they would hold to that Old Testament progression is just was changed and altered by those that were translating it, and so it's not the original text. So they would claim a base of the earth off of what the Old Testament would walk a parallel line to. I think they hold to that. Satan deceiving Eve, Lucifer, he was mad because he wasn't chosen and Jesus was. He was the second born.
Essentially, everything you see in the Bible, they're going to say they believe. I mean, everything. Old Testament narrative, all the way down through. They're going to say they believe. So the problem is if you're trying to enter into Mormonism or talking to them about, well, the Bible says this, they're going to go, yeah, the Bible says that. But everything around it was different. How it got there is different. What happened at the end is different. The things that are going on that you can't see right now are different. So that's what makes it so hard to talk about. Because they'll agree with you on everything you talk about. Adam and Eve fell in the garden. They have sin. Yep, got sin. Jesus atoned for that. They use all the same words. It is everything around it is totally different. That's just what makes it so hard to talk about. Because they'll agree with you. Salvation by grace, through faith, in Christ, alone. That's it. Where you got to start walking it down is who's Jesus? Is Jesus not? And is he God? Yes. Is there a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And Jesus is part of that Trinity in which he's equal, although he's three individuals or three personalities, one essence. Then they will say no, and then you have a basis upon which to say, okay, that's not what the Bible teaches. Anything else, you're just going to get lost in everything.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's with both Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, with the conversations I've had, they'll come to the door and start talking about something different, and I'll very politely say, can we just cut to the chase? And they're like, well, what do you mean? I said, let's talk about Christ. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. And really, because we could sit there and try to use the logic and disprove all of these things and go back and forth, but that is really where it meets the road and the defining differences that, so you're going to get straight to the point and then you're not running the risk of offending, right? Because we want to show them that they're wrong, but we don't want to insult them and mock them. We want them to be able to recognize and see and hear the gospel so that they too might be able to repent and believe. JoJo, you had a question? So do they believe in the sovereignty of God? I don't think so. Yeah, Chris doesn't think so either, so that makes me not think so even more.
As far as sovereignty goes, as he did, no, it's very much self-determination.
It's just spin it, create it, and away you go. Okay.
So Muslims believe, is the God that the Mormons believe in, is he also sort of distant and, I guess, mystical? Like, you can't have
I don't think it's not as, it can't be as personal and intimate of a relationship as we have with God, because it's achieving that status on your own works. Okay, last one.
So I had two things. One was about that. I think it goes back to what he was saying about the burning in the bosom, where
right.
That's how they are convinced of what they believe. They just pray to God and they have a feeling, and they're like, that feeling must be from God.
Right.
I think they would say that they have a very personal relationship with God. But the second question I had, you said everyone is saved, according to them, like whether they go to one of the three heavens. And you said that Jesus and Satan were both just sister, like brothers.
Right. The first of the spirit children.
So that means that they would say that Satan would also be one of those heavens?
Satan would be in one of those heavens? I feel like by implication, if there is no hell, then Satan is not going to be going to hell. And so really, I don't know if they would actually say that he is in heaven, but I think the implication of what they believe in, as far as there being no hell, would mean that Satan would have to be probably in that third level.
Yeah, the God beings are a conundrum. I don't understand how all that works, because he's not human, because he's a spirit child of Godhood. So that's a really difficult thing. So he's not really living on the heavens. He wouldn't be on the earth, which is the first one, but he's somewhere doing his thing, and right, there's no censure in that, because he still gets to do what he wants to do. That's my understanding, but that part's really...
Yeah.
Okay,
so my last statement on Mormonism before we got to move on to Jehovah's Witnesses. You can ask afterwards and we'll do our best to answer. My last statement on Mormonism, just to kind of prepare you and help you kind of understand some of the realness. They are great evangelists, and really we could learn a lot from both them and the Jehovah's Witnesses as far as our evangelism efforts. I was doing door-to-door evangelism in West Knoxville with a friend that was starting up a church plant in West Knoxville. This was many, many moons ago, probably about 17, 18 years ago. But anyhow, I'm out there, and I was by myself, and I knock on a door. And this young man answers the door, and he's wearing black pants, a white collared shirt with a black tie. It's like, ah. And so he kind of had the door cracked, and he's looking at me, and, you know, hey, my friend's doing a church plant, he's starting up a church. I tell him, he says, oh, really? And then he opens up the door farther, and there's about a dozen young men wearing black pants, white shirts, and a black tie. And they were getting ready to go out